This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and it is Friday, the 11th, I think, of August, and it's still a couple days away from the Magic Live convention beginning, which will start on the 13th, which is Sunday afternoon. A lot of things going to be happening between now and then, but I'm at the airport right now, and unlike usual, I am actually here in the afternoon, so our flight departs at 2 o'clock rather than earlier in the day. That doesn't mean that I'm not going to be going by Dunkin' Donuts, because yes, indeed, I did, and I'm there right now and just having a Boston cream along with my coffee. So I'm just having one donut rather than two here today. But I'm soon going to be jumping on my company plane, which I use. The Magic Word Podcast recommends all the time, of course, Southwest Airlines, and we'll be jumping on that and heading out to Lost Wages here shortly. And then we had several plans for several shows to see over the next day or two, and perhaps we can have a couple of conversations with some of those guys also for the podcast. Before we go, it's going to be an interesting convention. As you know, of course, the stand no longer has Magic magazines, but I'm curious to see what the convention is going to be based on, because in the past he has had a lot of things that have been essentially like the pages of the magazine. So each day that they have different activities, and it's like turning a page in the magazine, because you don't know what joys will unfold on the next page or what will appear on the next page. Well, it's still kind of the same way. We don't know what is planned until we get there and sign in. One thing we do know is on Sunday evening we're going to be seeing a new movie, apparently with Johnny Thompson and Penn Jillette, and kind of curious to see how that goes and if that's going to be something that's going to be released, widely distributed, or is it going to eventually hit Netflix, or is it just for magicians only? I guess we'll find out, and we'll let you guys know then, too. As to who all is going to be here, I can only say there will be about 1,600 of us, so there will be quite a few to chat with. So I'm not going to take too much of the time for you just listening to me right now. Strap in your seatbelt, and let's get ready to head to Las Vegas, baby. So until we see you on the other side, this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and we just got to revisit with a friend that we talked to this last, golly, when was that? Was it last year?
A few months ago now. Oh, yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, well, I guess it was February when I was out here, earlier this year.
Yes.
And this is Mike Hammer. Hey there, Mike.
Hey, guys, how are you? Hello,
we're
Magic
fine.
Word. Yeah, we're fine, yeah.
They talk back to you through the microphone.
Exactly. I actually love your podcast, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, because you get a lot of really great people. I don't know what I'm doing on it right now, but you definitely get a lot of great entertainers.
It's great. You're the leadoff batter right now.
Oh, thank you. I would have been more prepared.
Just arrived in Vegas, and you're the first one we saw, and so got a couple more tomorrow, and so that I'm going to go see Murray, and then go see Chris Angel, and so we're starting off over here with you.
They're starting at the bottom, and then no, thank you so much.
Sure,
I'm glad you came out.
No, I'm glad we did, and it was a lot of fun. Another packed house, and another satisfied group, and people lined up, you know, to take pictures and everything.
We tried.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I enjoyed your show before. I enjoyed it again tonight. It's a lot of fun. I always recommend if anybody's going to be coming down to Las Vegas, come on downtown. You know, they think about just going to the Strip. They
right.
don't come all the way down to Four Queens where they should be able to see it.
And there's good bargains down here, too. I mean, it's a little less expensive than the Strips.
Well, you know, that's true. I was noticing, for an example, they had the Prime Rib across the street.
The Prime Rib, is that where you're going?
Well, I would like to have some. Yeah. We're going to go get something. Yeah. We haven't had dinner yet over here and this evening over here as well. But the show is still tight. You think about working it and doing something different? I mean, why mess with something that's perfection?
Yeah, you know what? It's just one of those things. You know, I just want to put some more magic in the show. And, you know, I think it's interesting. I love magic, so to see more of it, I think would be good.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to put a little more in there and stuff. Yep. So
now you're completing what number year?
Seventh year. Yeah.
I was thinking for some reason it's 11. I was telling Don earlier about that. I thought it was 11. It's seventh year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. Good.
I hope it's 11, Don. But
you're gonna
seven
be,
right now. Yeah.
You're gonna eventually be 11.
Yeah.
And then also you have got the Elvis impersonator coming that you. Also produce that show.
Yep, that's coming up now at 9 o'clock. Spirit of the King. That's 3 years it's been here.
Three years.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Very good to see you again. I know that you got to get some stuff ready, get some more people waiting.
Oh, yeah.
Always good to see you.
Oh, thank
Mike.
You, Scott.
It's always good.
Thank
Take
you,
care.
Magic Word Podcast people.
Not Magic Question.
So, for the Magic Word Podcast, this is Scotty. All right, Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And we're standing in line right now, actually waiting to see Murray Sawchuk's show, and run into Paul Han.
Yeah.
And where are you from, actually?
I'm from Taiwan.
From Taiwan, okay.
Ni hao.
And you, we met each other first at the Magic Castle a few weeks ago, and then you were actually performing then in the contest.
Yes.
Is that right, at Abbott's?
No, I'm performing.
For one of the performers at Abbott's.
Yeah.
Okay, and that was your first time.
Yeah.
And what was your experience? What do you think of that?
I think Abbott is unique convention in the world. It's not a convention, it's a summer camp.
Yeah, summer camp, yeah.
And I stay in a couple's house, and they treat me very well, and it's so special because you can go to the after party every day in a night bar, and a lake party, and a party in someone's house. So it's amazing, and it's just not a convention. You can be friend with everyone,
right?
And every citizen comes to you and say hello to you, and
right.
And the most special thing is I saw a lot of Amish.
Amish.
Mm-hmm. And, did you go to the Amish farm?
No, not yet, because I have to perform that day.
Yes.
Because I read Amish article when I'm in junior high school.
Yes.
It's in our book. You know.
Oh, really?
Wow, in Taiwan. Okay, interesting.
So it's very interesting to see them,
Yes.
Right.
In person, and they say hello to you.
Yeah.
And Abbott's Magic get together has a long story because 80th year, so I heard a lot of stories about magicians. The book writer, he wrote the book about the graveyard of a magician.
Oh, Al Leone, yes.
So
I contributed many of those stories.
Yeah, really?
In the book, right?
Yeah.
And I've been around a long time.
Yeah.
And knew many of the magicians.
That's Don Weinberg here there, by the way.
And we went 3 o'clock in at night.
Oh, at night? You went at night then? Okay.
And Al gave a tour for us for 2 hours at night. And it's super cold that night and raining.
Yes.
And he's drinking this. He's introduced every magician there. So nice.
It was flashlights.
During the regular afternoon tour.
Yeah, because we are rehearsing.
Well, yeah, and it was getting cloudy, and the rain was coming, so he cut everything short.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
But and I he's
no, no.
He spent almost 2 hours. So it's very unique experience.
Very deluxe tour.
Yeah.
And so you said you've been here then in Las Vegas for a while.
Yeah.
And so you've seen every show already. So tell me about something that stands out. What have you seen that you really like?
The David Goldrake is a new show.
Yeah, David Goldrake.
Yeah. He's just come here about maybe 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's doing a great show because the performance he do is like elegant style and with a very delicate stage illusions,
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful animation there. So it's very nice to look at the stage and let me think of Les Burden, that kind of style. And
interesting,
it's
very elegant, classic.
Worth to see it.
Yeah, and it's a full hour and a half show.
Yes,
and illusions and birds.
Illusions and
have a good personality.
Yes, mm-hmm. and he's elegant.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, did you get a chance to see David Copperfield's show?
Okay,
what do you think? I heard
Did you see there?
I haven't yet, but I've heard the lights go out and then you see this giant spaceship.
That's a crazy spaceship.
Okay.
About two bus size of a spaceship.
Wow.
In front of you. And
just appears immediately, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was crazy.
Yeah. Now, we're going to go see Criss Angel later this evening. I guess you've seen Criss's show already, too?
Yeah.
Liked it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Because I think he has some illusion with levitation. I like levitation. You flow in the air and you go into the box and the box will and turn circles.
Yeah.
And I like another illusion. He has maybe 6 or 8 person on a big illusion props, mm-hmm. and suddenly and everyone changed their place.
Wow.
So I was like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's super cool. You cannot see
I'm looking forward to seeing that later after we see Murray over here. Yeah. And so, let's see, then Nathan Burton, I guess you saw Nathan Burton and Matt Franco show.
Yeah. First, Nathan Burton, he's doing classic illusions. So he's fast, and then his position is very great. He has a very good personality, and everything's fast. If you want to see a quick show and powerful illusion, you must see Nathan Burton. Mm-hmm. And Matt Franco is one of his top three, I think.
Yeah,
because...
I have to agree, mine too.
Yeah, because basically he's doing a classic act of every magician do, but he do it very, very well.
Yeah.
And he combine a lot of, you know, the screen and just like a TV show.
Right.
So it's really hard to believe you can combine this kind of elements together to do a shows.
Right.
And you know, it broke my thought, because when I'm before here, I'm thinking, okay, maybe I need an illusion, or I need big prop, I need fancy prop to do a very big show, and everything is brand new, then I can do a big show. But Matt Franco, he did that with a classic routine, and he doesn't deny you the illusion.
He's not doing any illusions, right?
And everybody likes that.
Yeah.
So
it's his personality that sells the show.
Yeah.
That's why I like the show too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's so simple.
Right.
And it's very so good.
I agree. Very elegant. You get his personality and everything. What about, we're about to open up the show over here real quickly. Now, Steve Daly is in the zombie show.
Hey, good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the Murray
Did you see that by chance?
We'll
Zombie Bullocks?
Zombie.
Not yet.
Okay. I don't think it does magic necessarily, but I think it's, I heard it's a good show. Anyhow, I think that they're getting ready. Any other shows real quickly that you can think of that you saw that you'd recommend or talk about?
I just saw a Michael Jackson one by Cirque du Soleil. And it's a...
Everyone in line should have a ticket that looks like. And then you saw my camera show too, you said. Yeah.
It's a comedy magic show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small theater in just in Reuters.
Four Queens, yeah, downtown.
Four Queens. I think it's very nice to have a small theater, and Mike, he did a lot of interacting with
right.
And I like him with with a vacuum.
Yes. Yeah.
And he put something into someone's mouth.
Yeah.
And grab it. I really like that effect.
That's a funny. Yeah. He's trying to get the nuts or the down stuck in his throat or down. It's funny. Yeah.
Because
listen, they're getting ready. Go ahead.
Yeah. Because I. That day, I think he had a doctor on a stage.
Yes.
So it's fun that he's using a glove or something.
Yes, rubber glove.
And he put it into the doctor's mouth, and the doctor said, no, is it clean? It's so fun.
Right.
Yeah, so
funny. All right, we're getting ready to wrap up and send us into the show. Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good
Scott.
Seeing you again. I appreciate you being on the Magic Word over here. Let me ask you, I don't know if you listen to Magic Word podcast or not, but tell me, what is your favorite, what's your philosophy of life? What is your magic word or phrase?
Phrase?
It doesn't have to be a word. What's important to you? What's your philosophy?
I think doing magic is trying to express myself to everyone in a unique way, and everybody doesn't know.
Okay, I think that's it. So the Magic Word podcast, this is Scotty out.
Thank you, sir.
All right, hello, Scott Wells for themagicwordpodcast.com, and this is going to be the beginning of day one officially. We're at breakfast down here at the Orleans, and joined by Paul Gertner. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And you got in, you say, last evening, actually.
Is no, that right? Actually, just this morning.
Oh, just this morning. That's right. You said an early flight.
8 o'clock this morning.
You flew from Boston. What was your flight time?
I flew from Boston to Pittsburgh last night, and then I stayed in Pittsburgh and visited some folks. But we did a four-hour flight, Pittsburgh. It was a direct on Southwest.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I left at 6:20 in the morning.
And got here like at 8 o'clock.
Eight Vegas time.
Yeah.
You got it.
So really this is kind of a lunch for you as opposed to a breakfast.
That's right. That's true. I hadn't thought of that.
Now, as far as what you're anticipating, this, you know, is the first year that Stan is not going to be having Magic Magazine to kind of play on.
That's true.
And so I'm kind of wondering what it is that, do you have any expectations of what you think might be happening this year?
You know, I really don't. I don't know any secrets about what's going on.
Yes.
I don't have any hints and so on like that. So it's kind of wide open.
Are you involved at all this year? Or
Maybe in a tiny little way.
Okay.
A small little way, yeah. Yeah, but not really doing any presentations or anything like that.
But as always, when people are involved, you really can't talk much about it anyhow.
Yeah, yeah, there's a little bit, yeah, yeah. They have to figure out.
Yeah, because a lot of times you may be just one small piece of the puzzle, but you don't see the whole jigsaw puzzle.
Right, no. I got a call a couple of months back and says, hey, here's what we want to do, and okay, fine, as long as you're okay with it. And,
yeah.
Yep, so cool. We're good to go.
And so as far as... you didn't see any shows or anything that you got in here early this morning. I was just going to say, because I had some of the people that I had spoken with earlier that you've heard on this podcast, I didn't get a chance. I did talk with my camera, as you heard, but I didn't get a chance to talk with Murray. I really learned whenever you're chatting with people, particularly to record for something, you don't talk with them during the meet and greet, because everybody and their brother, you know, is wanting to take pictures, and, you know, you don't want to take up too much time in line and whatever, you know.
Sure.
And so I didn't really get a chance. I thought, well, I talked to Mike Hammer briefly, but I didn't talk with Murray on the record, because afterwards, when he was finished with the meet and greet, then he was having to go and get ready for the next show, because they're going to be having Crazy Girls that was coming in, and so he had to clean up and et cetera. So he really didn't have time. So then I ran over to see the Chris Angel show. Now, have you seen Chris's show in a while?
I saw an early show, but I haven't seen it within 2 years. It's been at least two or 3 years.
Yeah, I don't know how much it may have changed from... because this is the first time I've seen it probably in 6 years, and it's changed dramatically.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and it was fantastic. Yeah. He's produced, directed, and choreographed a lot of it himself.
Right.
And it really is a lot different with an ending levitation that... has to be seen to be believed. I mean, it kind of rivals Copperfield's flying illusion, but kind of goes another step further.
Yeah.
That's all I could say. It was phenomenal.
That's great.
Now, did he do any of that when you saw him in the show, or do you remember much about...
There was a levitation.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't on that level.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. Now, I remember also that he had, he did a straitjacket, upside-down straitjacket on stage last evening.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw him the first time, he did it out over the audience. This time he was on stage. Do you remember where it was?
I'm not sure exactly whether it was real far out over the audience that time.
It wasn't when you saw it?
Not that I recall.
See, when I saw it, I think it was still just on the tail end of when he was still involved with Cirque, I believe, over there. Now, are you going to stick around or heading back afterwards?
I'm sticking around for the whole convention except for the last night party. I've got to be on a red eye to get back to Detroit, Michigan for a gig that starts... that morning at like 9 o'clock. I've got like a technical seminar session and doing some performances at the...
Are you doing more of that kind of a thing as far as speaking as opposed to the kind of trade show work you were doing on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I do still a lot of the trade shows, but like this one I'll do here is kind of interesting because it's not really speaking engagement. It's more I do a little opener for a technical seminar and then I go to the next breakout room and I do a little opener for their... when they come back from lunch, and then I do another little, close maybe before this group goes to coffee break. Just maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah.
One or two tricks that might relate to the product message, the product they're talking about, or the concept they're talking about. I like it. It's fun because I'm working for all engineers. It's all engineers, very analytical folks. Great audience for me.
Is it the same company that you're working for?
I mean, I've been doing this for Siemens. Is one of the companies. That's who I'll go back for. Siemens, big firm.
But are you doing more of those now than you are trade shows?
No, still doing more trade shows, but doing this a little more. I like it.
I think it would be a lot of fun. Yeah,
it is fun. Yeah. It is fun. It's easy work, and then during the coffee break, I'm of course strolling around, and if somebody wants to see some close up, I nail them with some really heavy hitting close up stuff. So.
Right.
So I'm getting a chance to work out a lot of new material. In fact, like at this convention here, they have something going on where you can have a button on and you do a trick.
You do a trick, yeah.
Yeah, I got a killer. So if anyone asks me, it'll surprise you.
I will ask you. I want to see it. I've got a little funny thing I'm bringing, too. It's not,
okay. So it's, I don't know. Fun. I'm going to be locked and loaded, ready to go.
We talked a few years ago at Fectors about how the trade shows tried to kind of go down. There weren't as many. Does it kind of feel like it's slowly coming back?
For me, it has. Within the last year and a half to 2 years or so. I don't know. That might be a little bit due to some of the, I've done Penn & Teller Fool Us last year. I'll be on again this year on Penn & Teller. And it's that helped me a little bit because it gave my social media gal something to put on the online, and then older clients have seen that on LinkedIn and stuff like that. Oh, Paul, you're still around.
Yeah, kind of those.
And I've been doing trade shows for older clients that I haven't worked for in 10 years.
That's the advantage, I think, of social media as well.
I mean, on some level, especially if you've been in the business for a while and you've been around, they discover that you're still there. and he's still working.
Particularly if there's been some lag in time in which that they haven't used anybody.
Absolutely.
You know, they're thinking, well, I wonder if that guy's still around.
Yeah, he was good. Wasn't he good?
I've gotten calls like that. It's kind of like, are you still doing magic? And it's been 10 years since we last used you.
I know. I get those a lot.
You're still doing it, still working.
Yeah. Like you're not in the retirement home yet. You're not in the nursing home yet.
Tonight is pudding night.
That's right.
Now, I've noticed also that, speaking of social media, that you have a blog also. Tell me about that.
I've been having fun with that. My wife is a writing teacher. She taught grades in middle school. And she tells me I've gotten to be a better writer over the years, and I take that as a compliment, because she's a real tough cookie to, you know, she's a tough one to please, I think, on as far as writing goes. But I've enjoyed it, and it's a struggle to kind of sometimes come up with topics and so on. But I wrote a little bit about the process of being on Penn & Teller. Right. I'll write about, you know, just things that come in my head that I think other magicians can relate to. And I'll probably do something about a little bit. I have one due tomorrow. I'll probably do a little bit about Eugene Berger, and how he was more of a mentor for a lot of people, a teacher. You know, he kind of made that transition from performer to teaching also. And then I might talk about a couple of the teachers I had, the mentors I had, like Eddie Fechter and Eddie Tulloch and Ron Slanina, a guy who started me in magic.
Bud Dietrich?
Yeah. And Bud Dietrich was one of the trade show guys, sure. You know, because I think it's important to keep for people to see that he is somebody who's done magic successfully, professionally. They didn't do it on their own, okay?
Right.
That's right. They had some serious help along the way. Some of it was luck. I met the right people at the right time. Some of it was my willingness to stick with it and practice and so on. But it was meeting those kind of people made a big difference for me.
Yeah. You know,
I wouldn't have been a professional magician without meeting people like Fechter and Tulloch, and that showed me possibilities.
Yeah. Now, on your blog, do you post it on a regular basis or just kind of whenever?
Yes, every other Tuesday I have a blog. So yeah, I think it's either the second Tuesday of the month and the last Tuesday of the month, or one of those. But yeah, every 2 weeks I've got to have one out there.
Yeah,
that's what my gal tells me.
That's what you need to have, some regularity.
Yeah,
you know, I've been told that before, as far as like with the podcast. That's why I started doing it every Thursday.
So it's the consistency that people, even if they don't necessarily, they get that in their head. You know, that expectation is, oh, this is something new. Boom. So, and I've gotten nice responses.
And so how can they find that? What's the website?
Usually I'll paste it on Facebook, but it's also right on my website, Gertner.com. Just Gertner.com. Boom. It'll be right there, the blog. Yeah, the blog posts.
Good. Well, the next ones you're talking about writing about, that should be quite interesting.
I'll be working on that tonight.
Yeah. Do you spend a lot of time, or sometimes you find that it just kind of, you know, falls off the fingertips when you're writing it, and other times you have to really work hard, right?
It's exactly that, yeah. Sometimes it comes and boom, it's done real quick.
You say you've gotten better as a writer, and I think it's the same thing with anything. The more you practice, the better you are, you know.
Yeah.
But I have a journalist background, journalism, and then also radio and television, but I think that the more you write, the better you are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, shouldn't, if somebody wanting to publish a book, you shouldn't be expecting to get the publisher to think right off the bat that this is going to be great. You know, you're going to get a lot of rejections.
Yeah.
You have to deal with rejections, I think.
Absolutely. And I think the interesting thing about writing is it's like magic.
Exactly.
The fine little tweaks, the word, the right word, the right phrase, how it's put down. It's certain to me, writing an article is like designing a magic trick. You know, what can make it have more impact? Oh, you know what? If I change that phrase and put that here instead of there, it makes a big difference.
But sometimes it's not until actually working in front of an audience with those lines and those tricks. You know, it's all the timing and misdirection that you're practicing is out the window when it actually comes to real life situations.
Something can happen.
Yeah,
that happens. It happens too, but that's what kind of makes it walking on the wire. I think that's what keeps us alive.
It's kind of like, you know, a few years ago, the Copperfield was talking about that little alien thing that he was working with, and he said, I know that's in there. There's a trick or something, and he kept working it and working it and working it. So just because it doesn't work the first few times, you know, if you're committed and you think something is an idea, stick with it. You know?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a thing, from being a performer for a while, you get the sense that there is something here. I can see it. I don't know exactly what it is. I don't know how the structure will be, but I can see there's an effect or a trick here or a storyline.
Right.
For me, that's what it is a lot of times. You know, there's a trick here. You know, I see a prop and say there's something here that involves, like those decks of cards that somebody put out. I don't know, illusionists or that are real old looking. You know those ones that are really.
Yeah.
Nobody has yet done a really, and maybe somebody will write in and say, hey, yes, I did. Here's a really good trick. But I haven't seen yet anyone take that trick, that prop, and do something super interesting with it based on the concept of taking someone mentally back in time to the point where all of a sudden the cards in their hands have literally morphed and changed, where they look down and they see this old deck of cards and they've aged, and holy God, because it all fits together in a storyline. There's a trick there. It's a prop waiting for a very strong trick.
I've always enjoyed those cards, but I haven't got anything I've done with them. You're right, I've never seen anybody do it.
Everybody says, it's an old deck of cards. Ha, ha, ha. No, there's a really good trick there. Yeah. No one's put it together
The obvious thing, obviously, you pull them out and you say, well, this is something that my grandfather passed on as a trick that he taught me, and these are the very cards he used. But the thing you're talking about, going back and doing a switch.
I'm talking about where it morphs in their hands, but that it relates, that you have them going back in time, thinking of an event that happened in the past, and the cards, and all of a sudden that one card that they thought of in their imagery has changed, and then the whole deck has changed, and then you get people just, that reaction we all look for.
Well, great. Look, I'm looking forward. We'd sit here and talk all morning. We've probably got to let some people be sitting over there a lot, too. Thanks very much, Paul. Always good to talk with you.
Good deal.
Okay, we'll see you.
Okay.
Yeah. So, for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Paul Gertner, and this is Scotty out. Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're just now online registering, and I got Steve Valentine with me. Hello, Steve.
Is this a magic convention? I thought we were lining up at Disneyland.
We're all queued here. How long have you had to wait?
It's gone very quickly. It feels like at least 3 hours.
Anything you're excited about, looking forward to seeing here at the convention?
I haven't seen the schedule yet, so I think I'm excited to see the schedule.
It's kind of like waiting for the magazine every month, the way it used to be.
Yeah, and then I'm excited to get my lunch and then go over the schedule.
So you haven't even had breakfast yet?
No.
Did you fly straight out this morning, or you been
here? I came in yesterday, so we did the early, I drove up from
LA.
Did
you see a show last night?
I did not. I just kind of hung out in the hotel and chilled, and it was nice.
Now, are you going to be a part of this convention this year?
I might be doing a little bit later in the convention.
Okay, I know you can't talk about it. But
we'll talk about it later. Yeah.
We'll find out how that went. Very good. Good seeing you again, Steve.
Thank you. Good
stuff.
See you. Thanks,
Scott. Bye. All right, still waiting in line. Now I got Raj Maddock. Hey there, Raj.
You keep saying it Maddock, it's still Madoff. But I know you love me, Scott.
I do.
Yeah.
I have said that for years. I guess it's just a habit now as well.
This line is like a family reunion. You keep zigzagging, seeing people you get to chat with, and then you go back and see them again.
That's right, because it's such a short chat. Probably going to be the whole way the week is, because 1,600 people here.
Is that what it is now, 1,600?
Yeah. Now, did you sign up to actually show a trick?
Yes, ask me. I'm waiting for my ask me button.
Okay, yes,
all
me
right.
too.
How about you?
I got one as well. A little mentalism trick. It's a John Bannon idea.
Okay. All right, mine's mentalism too.
I figured, of course it would be. Tell me about your latest book. What do you got?
It's still the book you pushed last time on your
podcast.
I appreciate that. I'll show you some new stuff from it
when we
get a chance.
Raj Maddock.
Madoff. Madoff.
I'm going to say Raj. Okay, see ya.
All right, Scott.
See ya. Scotty out. All right, now we're standing in line. Still got CJ Johnson. He has something nice to say.
Hey, CJ. I'm just glad that you're documenting so much of our magic world. It's going to be an important resource for us to go back and look at as we get older and lose people and all that. It's going to be great to go back and listen to those conversations. I think it's awesome.
Well, let me say also, it's good to listen to it in real time. Of course, then, you know, right now, while we're, you know, people are not at this convention, might wish they were here, they kind of hear what's happening. What are you looking forward to seeing? I know we haven't seen the schedule.
Yeah, I haven't seen the schedule yet. I'm looking forward to seeing friends. That's the same thing I go to every convention for.
Yeah. Well, you're always working, except the TAOM in here. Where are all the conventions you go to?
This is it. I came to IMX one time when it was here.
Oh, yeah,
you were there.
Yeah, that was great.
We have podcasts about
that. Never forget that one.
That was a pretty great one. Yeah. But, you know, I go when I can. This one worked into the schedule at the last minute, so yeah. I was excited, and I was like, yes, I'll go.
Now, you say the last minute. I mean, this thing's been sold out for a while, so did you get,
I got somebody who couldn't come. They, you know, I bought their tickets
for the last minute, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I put it out there to Facebook. I was like, hey, my schedule opened up. Literally, my orientation tour starts the day after the convention.
Right.
So I put it out there. I was like, if anybody has a ticket for sale, let me know.
You could be starting up your college circuit shows here soon, won't you?
Yeah, they start. Literally, I fly out Thursday morning, day after this convention ends. I fly out and start doing colleges.
And then you're going to be doing the Bonk show? Or
no, we'll be doing Hypnosis for most of them. And I got a couple of game shows and some...
Gus is doing the game shows, I guess, right around.
Yeah, well, I'll host the Overflow stuff. And yeah. Gus will be crazy busy that whole time, the whole time that I'm out doing Hypnosis shows. And then there's a couple gigs that I have to fly in and host those.
Still going to NACA?
Yeah, we'll go to Nationals and we'll go to Central region. We just go to those two.
Yeah. Well, listen, we got to get back in line over here. Thanks, CJ, very much. Always good to talk to you, buddy. Scott. See you. Enjoy the convention.
Thank you, too, man.
Hello.
Scott Wells from the Magic Word Podcast here with Kayla Drescher. Hey there, Kayla.
Hey, how's it going?
We're still standing in line, and this year you're not working at the convention here. You're not behind the line over
here. I'm working in a different aspect this year, but not behind the registration booth.
You're still going to be busy.
Exciting. Still busy, as always, yes.
Anything that you could tell us about?
It's going to be fun.
That's all I need to know.
Does that help? Yeah,
that's right. That's fine. That's fine. Getting here, you have not ever missed a Magic Live, have you?
Not since I've been coming, no. This is my
one. Not since I've been coming. That's the most, yeah.
I don't know. How do I answer?
How old are you? I'm as old as I am right now. It's
I mean, I haven't been like Mike Caveney coming every year since its inception, but
right.
This is my fifth year, so.
What is your most exciting moment from one of the past Magic Lives? First thing you can think of.
Seeing the Carnival of Wonders show with Mark and Ginger Kalen, they're my favorite magicians, and that was the moment that I was like, hey, magic's real. So yeah. That was probably my favorite moment of any.
That's all we need. Good. Thanks very much, Kayla.
Thanks.
Enjoy the convention. See you later. This is Scotty out.
Yeah.
Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast. I'm here with Chuck Jones. Hey there, Chuck.
Hi there. Hi, everybody out there.
And so glad you're here then again. You come every year just to entertain people with your presence. It's good seeing you.
I guess so. Yes,
now, have you been traveling over to Australia? You've been doing
I'm going back to New Zealand in November.
In November?
Yeah.
This is going to be what year for you going back there? This
will be about 28 or 29. I've lost count.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. So as they say, I'm very big down under.
You just want to get big up on top. Okay. Now, do you change the show every year then?
Yeah, about a third of the show.
A third of the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have this year a guest performer too.
Yeah.
And so he takes the you know, the pressure off of me.
Right.
And you know, then I'm going to ease off in the next couple of years.
Start to retire maybe a little bit perhaps?
Retirement, no, never.
No, never, exactly.
I may stop doing the tour.
The tour is all, okay, yeah. Okay. Listen, we're getting ready to go on through. I got to move on ahead. Thanks very much, Chuck. Always is good to see you here. Well,
okay.
For the Magic Word, Scotty out. All right, Scott Wells, Magic Word Podcast again. I'm here with Edgar Hurtubis. If I pronounce it correctly?
Lou Weimister.
What?
Lou Weimister.
Lou Weimister. Your partner is Lou. I mean,
Ed Hurtubis.
Yes, yeah. Okay, Lou. So, tell me, because you were one of the...
Magic and the Rockies.
Organizers, yeah. Yes, with the Magic and the Rockies.
Yeah,
so
we did it for 20 years. Unlikely we'll do it again. If we ever do it again, we would use the Union Colony Civic Center, a beautiful facility in Greeley, with a hotel next to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a William Rader has sessions in Colorado now in September, and that's a small convention. We don't want to step on his toes. And also, the city of North Glen next weekend is running Magic Fest. It's for general public, and a lot of magicians have been calling in saying, how can I come to the convention?
Yeah.
And Joe Given and Carol Massey are running the entertainment, and North Glen said if it's successful, maybe we'll do a convention next year.
Oh, good.
So if they do all those, it's even more unlikely.
Yeah.
But a lot of people have been asking, if it ever comes back, we have to maintain the standards we did over 20 years.
Yeah.
So,
which are pretty high.
But I got to tell you, it's easier for me to come to Magic Live to a convention than to organize one. You know that.
Oh, yes, that's right. It sure is. Thank you very much, Lou. Got to keep moving online. Lou Weimisner for the Magic Word. Scotty out. All right. Still standing in line over here. And happened to run across a listener over here, Sean Hull. Hi there, Sean.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm fantastic, and I'm enjoying the line, getting a chance to talk with so many people who are friends and new people like you that we haven't chatted yet before. But you told me that you came over to say hello because you've listened to the podcast.
We did. In fact, my son and I started listening to your podcast about a year ago.
Clayton, right here. Clayton, hey, say hi, Clayton.
Hello.
And we were so impressed with your coverage of the convention. It impressed us. We said, we got to go there.
Yeah.
So here we are a year later and hundreds of podcasts later.
Yeah.
Here we are talking to you in line. Pretty exciting.
This is your first Magic Live.
This is our first Magic Live.
So you guys are going to be in for it. You know, I should tell you what, we should look for me and I'll look for you towards the end of the convention because I'd like to maybe have a follow-up to see you on the fourth day or third day to see if you guys still have the same goosebumps, you know, if you really kind of enjoyed
that. That would be great. What do you think, Clayton?
That would be awesome.
Look me up. Yeah. Please do. So you're looking forward to seeing this convention. Do you guys normally attend other magic conventions?
Or? We've been to a few, the TAOM and some of the international ones.
Yeah.
But Clayton's never been to a big one.
Okay.
So we're excited.
Yeah, not one much bigger than this in the U.S. I mean, they're like 1,600 people. I mean,
great.
Closest
great.
Thing to this would be like FISM. I don't know. Did you ever listen to my FISM?
We've listened to them all.
Yeah.
You bet.
Well, thank you for being a longtime listener. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thanks so much.
All right. Clayton, nice meeting you. And that was Sean Holt. This is Scotty out. Or is it?
It's Radio Planet.
It is actually the Magic Word podcast right over there. So, yeah, please take one. Shep Hyken.
Nice
hey there, Shep.
You,
say hello, man.
I wanted to say hi earlier. Hey, hello. The problem was you were doing one of these, and I couldn't say hi to you.
Oh, yes.
And I didn't want to interrupt.
I was talking to Paul. We were talking about you. We were talking about trade show guys.
Oh, man.
You know,
the
that transition old days. From one to the other kind of a thing.
It's the old days.
That's right.
It's very nice to see you, Scott.
And
hey,
you as well.
What's up, buddy?
Good seeing you. Good to see everybody over here. So you guys are kind of chilling.
Can I pet him?
Yes, you could. Yeah, feel now. See, that's going to sound a whole lot different on the microphone when it comes through. Yeah, it does.
Show me which one you have.
Let's go. This is Zoom over here.
I like this. I have the Zoom too.
Oh, we're losing
Zoom is
line.
It's really great.
It's a beautiful quality.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
We should ask him a question.
We will when we come back around. Okay. Very good. Yep. Okay. A lot of fun friends and everything. So we're in line. We got to get our schedule. I'm getting way behind over here. All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast, and we're here. Just finally got not to the front of the line, the middle line, where we got our tickets, and I got Katie Sokolsky, Stan Allen's daughter, and you kind of running the registration here. How are things going?
It's going well. It's going very well. We've got a large group of people here, but everyone seems to be smiling, mingling, chatting, waiting to get all of their goodies and get their photos taken. It seems to be running very smoothly.
Well, you've done this before, obviously, and so you kind of have learned from the lessons from the past?
Yes, we have. Yesterday was a very slow, early bird, kind of soft opening, a lot less people, but I love the energy in the room.
Sure.
Yeah.
How many people are registered?
Total at the convention, there are 1,600 registrants at the convention.
Because that's what they cut off, right?
Yes, the absolute cutout is 1,600. So we've had probably not even half of that yet. So it's just early on in the day.
Right. And the first activity today starts?
7:30, the At the Hop party in the Esplanade and Mardi Gras ballroom.
And then the dealers are open?
Yes, they open at 7:30 too. So it'll be the party in the dealers room, and it's a 50s theme. So if you're dressing up, we'll see you when you're...
Yeah, tell us about the dress up. What was the idea? I noticed that we got like Magic Live Route 17.
So. Yes, so it's a little kind of going back on Route 66, but we're going a little more visually for the party, thinking like Grease, West Side Story, just kind of slowing things down, thinking about the good old days when we didn't have maybe our phones and our laptops and all of that. So we're just taking it to a simpler time where it was just about dancing, friends, and fun.
Wow. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I'm going to get on in line. Thank you, Katie, very much.
Of course.
And good luck with the rest of this. It's going very smoothly. You've done a good job.
Have fun.
Talk to you later. That was Katie Sokolsky. This is Scotty out.
All right, Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and we are actually at Murphy's Magic Supplies having a little reception here, and my friend Bro Gilbert is working with Murphy's now. Is that right?
That's right, Scott, I am.
And it's very good to see you. It's been a while since I've last... I think when I talked with you last, you were actually working with Chris Angel. We were up at the Luxor hanging out at his suite up there.
Yeah, that's right. Season 3 of Mind Freak I worked on. Yeah. Little bit of that into the next one a bit, and yeah, it was a great experience. That's true. Didn't we go out to a nightclub or something?
We did go to a nightclub, because I remember that we were fiddling around. They wanted to spell like the Ace of Diamonds with on the bar or something. We were trying to light it and trying to make something to appear. You know, and a trashy idea. I don't think we ever did
it. Yeah, no, it was too dangerous. It was a health risk for all involved.
Yeah. That was fun. And then we did go to a nightclub. We went to see... was it Hustler was sponsored? No,
what's the Playboy thing? No, it was some kind of thing at the
Penthouse. It was Penthouse.
Okay,
that was
okay.
It.
I remember now. It's been a while.
Because Chris was supposed to be like the master ceremonies of this negligee party or something.
Yeah,
and I remember going up there and that.
That was fun. That was
fun. Fun party.
The good old days.
Yes, that's right. So now, I do. All of us starting to come back now. But we'll forget about that for a minute. You're living in Canada. You're from Canada.
Yeah, I live in Canada. I live north of Vancouver in a little place called the Sunshine Coast, kind of near, on the coast near the Squamish or Whistler ski mountain. So I'm kind of about an hour out of Vancouver, the actual city. So I've been up there for years. That's my home base. That's
Did
where.
Did you move back there?
I was always coming back and forth, doing.
But you're a Canadian resident. You haven't actually established residence in the U.S.
No, I'm actually a dual citizen. This is a lot of personal information, but my dad was American. He grew up in Colorado, and my mom was from Canada, so I'm able to kind of work in Canada and the U.S., so it's good.
Yeah, interesting. And how long then have you been then with Murphy's here?
Well,
not that long, right?
Well, let's see. It's been about 5 months. Yeah. We've been doing some exciting projects with Murphy's, and before that time I was working with Paul Harris Presents for, probably eight or more years. This is a relatively new thing, and I'm doing some of my own kind of things, and working with the Murphy's team now, and it's been great. It's been a lot of fun.
In working with Murphy's, have you got some ideas, some new things that are yours that you're releasing, or are you kind of...
There's a lot of new projects and ideas that under the surface aren't released yet, but mostly what I'm doing with Murphy's is... just having fun with the download platform and kind of playing with that format and building it and getting some new people on board and trying out some new ideas with the Wild West that is the download world. So that's what I've been kind of working on with them, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, as far as the download world, boy, that is something that's hard to password protect, and as far as pirating and everything, how are you dealing with issues like that?
Well, it's, like I say, it's the Wild West, and, people are, a lot of people buy these downloads, you see something, and it's kind of an impulse buy, and I'm sure some of it gets pirated, and some people, click the button and buy it legitimately, and it's really in its infancy. So there's, I think, a lot of great opportunities in that. And really, for as far as pirating and stuff, someone can always just take a video camera and film their computer screen, and there's not a lot you can do. But I think, more and more people are getting used to paying that $7, and it's not a big thing to click that button and pay for it nowadays. It's becoming easier and easier.
I think you hit upon the thing right there then, bro. It has to do with the price point. If it's going to be something that's cheap enough, it's like, I can afford $5. It's not going to be.
Yeah.
It's not going to cost that much.
Yeah, go through the hassle of trying to rip something like that off when it's just, $5, $8 or whatever. I think, I think a lot of people do support it and buy it that way, and some don't, but... I don't know. It is new, and it's exciting though, because I think there's a lot of opportunities for to get some really great stuff out there with it.
Now, when you say you're working on some other personal projects, are these some things that you are doing as far as things that you're working on for your own show, for your performances?
Yeah, I have some of my own stuff that I do, my own private performances, and I also I have some kind of secret TV things in the background that are. Yeah. Always brewing that I'm working on with friends of mine, and
And you consulted with some of the guys who perform over on Penn and Teller?
No, not really, not yet.
Okay,
but yeah, I love that show. I think it's great.
Cool. Have you thought about going and doing something on there?
I'm thinking about it.
I mean, you got a lot of stuff.
I'm thinking about it. I'm kind of a reluctant. I think I could. I think if you get into some of the mathy kind of stuff, that could help. Yeah. That could work. But I'm just waiting for the right thing to come along. And yeah, it's great though. There's been so much magic on TV. I feel like there's a real resurgence in a lot of ways.
That's a very good point.
Even at the Penn & Teller show last night, I mean, there was a mob, a thick... I mean, some of that's Magic Live, of course, but I think that show has really brought some interest back to magic and the idea that people create magic and are doing magic, and it doesn't just come from the middle of nowhere, you know? Yeah, so I really like their show.
Well, we were just talking before we turned this on about working with Chris Angel and on the Mind Freak show and stuff that you, rather last night's show I saw.
Yep.
And I really do think that it has changed a lot, and since that he's gotten away from Cirque du Soleil, now it's something he's doing on his own. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I was really impressed. And, you know, obviously Chris is a friend, and I've known him for years. But, yeah, I hadn't seen the show in about 2 years, and I was blown away by it. I think the pace of it and that new levitation sequence at the end, and just all of the artistic touches from the video production to the music to everything, really. I mean, Chris is someone, for all of the flack that he kind of takes sometimes within the community and from the TV show and all of that, is someone who works extremely hard, and you know, his show is a testament to that. I mean, he never stops working. Every time I hear him talking to people, he's like, what was the best part? What was the worst part? He's always getting feedback from magicians and everyone around him, and it really showed last night. I mean, his show is really special. It's really something.
Yeah, you know, some years ago when I was backstage with him, and he was talking to people who were lining up, and there were like two or three people with clipboards, and they were saying, you know, he's saying, okay, I want you to do this next time for this next show. Make sure that this is moved over there, and you have this box or whatever. So
yeah,
he's always
he's relentless with the details, and yeah, it's cool. It's really neat to see.
Yeah, and it's a fast moving show, and clean and open, and no boxes and everything. You know, the old style of the show. You know, a lot of hard driving music, rock music, and everything, and fire. And I like the guys up on the sides, you know, playing the guitars and everything. You know, that kind of reminded me a little bit of like a Mad Max or something.
Yeah, thing, no, you know? That, totally. There's a little bit of Mad Max in there for sure.
Yeah, very, very cool show. Are you working with anybody else on any other show consulting that you can tell us about?
No, not really. I mean, I'm working on a few things that are a little bit under the table at the moment. But,
okay, sorry.
But, yeah, so I've got a handful of things, but nothing nothing that's coming out right away or nothing.
All right.
Nothing that's...
You're keeping really busy, though.
Yeah, I'm keeping pretty busy with it. But I keep to myself, too. You know, I live up there in Canada, and I've got a 9-year-old son, and so I like to be home. And
of course.
I like to keep to myself a little bit, too.
Well, one last thing, and I'm going to let you go, and it has to do with Murphy's.
Yep.
Since you're working over here, and that's someone who's one of the sponsors on the podcast also. I do a lot of reviews of their tricks and everything over there then, too. And that is, what is new that Murphy's has that's a hot product right now?
Oh,
did
boy.
You see as far as the dealers are asking for?
Well, of course, there's the gift. That's
yeah,
a cool thing.
Right, yeah. And they,
that's
they,
a really cool thing.
They got a limited edition red one boxes coming out. They just had a gold one, I guess.
Yeah, you know. I mean, honestly, there's so much amazing new magic coming up. I have kind of an inside look at some of the things, and there's a pipeline full of incredible stuff that we're all excited.
It'll be out before Christmas. Huh?
Yeah, hopefully. Well, definitely there's going to be a few things out before Christmas, but yeah, there's a pipeline full of some really special magic coming up that I know some of it's been in development for, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so, yeah, it's exciting. It's an exciting time. There's a lot of, I feel like, you know, everybody, Murphy's has a lot of things. I feel like a lot of the company's illusion, everybody, it seems like there's a lot of good magic on the way right now. So it's an exciting time.
That's true. And like you said, like with magic on television, when people come out to Vegas, magic is big on the strip everywhere you go.
Yep.
And it's very popular.
Yeah, again, and America's Got Talent. I mean,
they love magicians now.
Yeah, so it's magic is strong right now.
Yeah, that's right. It's good.
So I'm excited.
Good. Bro, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate your time.
Awesome.
Always good seeing you, buddy.
Yeah, you too, Scott. All right.
For the Magic Word Podcast.
All right.
That was Bro Gilbert. This is Scotty out.
Go get popcorn. Then more.
All right.
Oh,
for Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And I got Chris Hart and Don Wayne here. Hey, guys.
Say hi. Hello. There. Hi, Scott.
So I understand, Don, that you had just moved to Las Vegas.
Correct.
What took you so long to get here? I mean, you probably did a lot of work out here. I mean, for different guys, things you
made. Late as usual.
I mean, I remember Bill Smith getting out here, and it took him a while, and then Stan Allen talked him into it. And then when he did, he's glad he did. Just took you a little longer.
Yes, it did. However, I'm glad I did.
And are you building stuff, creating new stuff? What's working? What are you working on?
Yes. Well, right now it's America's Got Talent.
Okay. Are you building illusions or what with them?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, none of those guys, like Chris Vart's here, given what I know, is that none of these close-up guys have acts. They don't know how to work on TV. So they bring in Don Wayne to give them an act, choreograph an illusion, make them look better on TV because they don't know how to work TV. So,
yeah.
Fit in the time constraint, visual, work the cameras.
That's right.
Don's a master at that.
You work on TV a little bit because you work with Copperfield. I think, no, it's not Copperfield. I'm sorry, of course, him. But then you work with Doug Henning way back when as well?
I did not.
Didn't work with Doug?
Nope.
Was Doug David the first one you worked with as far as television goes?
No, Mark Wilson.
Okay, so predates him quite a bit then, I guess.
Yeah.
He's done a lot of Vegas stuff. You know, Rick Thomas, he did a lot of stuff for Chris Angels.
What's Rick doing now, by the way?
Dirk Arthur's.
He's in Branson.
Okay. Didn't wonder where he was. I hadn't seen him in a while over here. So anyhow, you guys don't know what's going to be happening at the convention. Are either of you involved? If you are, you can't tell me.
I'm involved. I can say I'm involved a little bit.
That's
with a workshop, okay. Which I'm listed in the thing. So yeah.
Okay. Don, you doing anything, or are you just here hanging out?
I'm hanging out.
Okay.
He's here for the popcorn.
Okay. I know you. I mean, I'm stopping you from the concession stand right now before the movies. We got a little bit of time because they're not letting us in anyhow over there. So Chris, why don't you ask him a question?
What's the question? When are you coming out? When are you going to let me write the Don Wayne creative manual?
Ooh, that'd be good.
That I will put out and produce for you. Can we set a date on that?
Yeah, commit to that.
Yeah. Don Wayne's a secret. Don Wayne's a secret.
has a
plethora of information, but he's so busy. He's sort of like the secret weapon people don't know about. They find him.
Right.
He doesn't really. I don't think even Don Wayne has a business card anymore. Do you have a business card, Don Wayne?
No.
He doesn't have a business card. He barely has a workable website. And he's working all the time because he's just all like anything, word of mouth. So he works for the Illusionist.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize the things they're seeing in the Illusionist show are coming from the mind of Don Wayne.
Well, there's
productions.
Other people involved.
Other people, yes, of course, yes.
But you travel with them also to help put things back together if something breaks?
Occasionally. Yeah, I've been doing stuff with Mark Kalin.
Yeah.
And so he's a good guy, creative guy. So he's fun to work with.
I love Mark and Ginger, one of my favorite acts.
Yeah.
I think Ginger's one of the best assistants ever. You know, the way she moves on stage and everything, she just has the right look and the choreography.
I think Ginger's reminiscent of Joni Spina, where they know how to incorporate the dance that accentuates the magic and doesn't pull focus from it, where it's like dance and now the trick again.
Yeah.
It's blended into one seamless piece. So.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, actually.
She does it beautifully. I remember one time seeing him when they changed a cat to her. It seems like it was a panther or something to her. And the way she moved on stage was
great.
Cat-like. Yeah, that was very cool. And so when people do find you, that you're helping, I'd say, like close-up guys, I mean, they're having to come down and do something, you know, on America's Got Talent, I'm talking about that now. When they come down to work for the judges, they're close. But you're right, as far as the camera angles, a lot of times people don't think about all that. Remember the first time I was on TV doing Cups and Balls? Out in West Texas on a local television show, and I watched it later. You know, I should have talked to the cameraman to say, hey, don't get from this angle or don't do this, because the playback was not, that was the instructional view, basically, you know.
Right.
So,
yeah.
What do you tell them? What's some advice you tell guys to begin with?
Well, it's basic. Most of the time I'm doing illusions. Even now it's for the close-up guys who are working on illusions.
Yeah.
And just because...
Well, that's what they always say, is make it bigger. You know, they work, you know, tight, but they say, you know, Simon Cowell say, you know, can you make that bigger? Can you do something so more people can see that, you know? And so I remember that, was it Matt Franco who had done the thing with the cards, I think, on his final night? Did you work with him, with Matt, on anything?
I did not.
Okay. But he was able to do something with people in the audience using these giant cards or people as cards,
right.
Mixing up a deck or something like that, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... You're working with them. Are you actually building illusions, or are you just giving some ideas, or the backdrops and the music, or
making drawings for the builders?
Okay, gotcha. Okay. Now you had also invented Dream Vision, I think. Was that right?
Yes.
Right.
And with Andre Cole.
And Andre, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, and Andre had worked on that then as well. What are some other things that are some of your favorites that you remember that? that are your pets you think you're really most proud of?
Dancing Ties, I like. There was a trick with a ballerina that Copperfield did that was kind of a favorite routine of mine.
Yeah.
I worked a lot with Don on the, because when I worked for Copperfield, it was mainly working with Don Wayne because he was the main consultant and I would be the grunt guy. But I remember working on the building implosion reproduction with Don.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, where how David reappeared on the steel plate.
Yes.
And me being Don sitting there with a video camera and I'd play the David part. And
oh, cool.
So a lot of things like that.
I remember that special, yeah. That was Escape from Alcatraz or something, wasn't it? Or,
yeah. Yeah. Not Escape from Alcatraz. It was a building implosion.
It was a building implosion.
Yeah, it was a building implosion that he had to escape from it before then he reappeared on a steel plate.
Right.
But
well, I'm going to let you guys go because I want to get some popcorn before the thing heads out. So, Don, thank you very much. It's really a pleasure meeting you. Chris, always a pleasure to see
Great
you.
To see you.
The Magic Word Podcast. That's Scotty out.
The table you guys performed on at the Peacock, that was built by Milt Larson, who's in the audience right now.
Oh, really? Really?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so
Milt.
Milt. Where's Milt?
Did
you sleep back there? Someone?
Thank you so much, Milt. Woo! Wow. You also built the Magic Castle.
It's not that I'm the dearest friend and love of Johnny Thompson's life, who told me 10 years ago, have your eyes done and you'll be gorgeous. But I have to say, all of us knowing him as we do, he's a brilliant musician, which wasn't touched here, a brilliant harmonica player, a terrific arranger, even though I'm sitting with one of the greats. He's a monster, and I think this thing should be a monster. Because he and you and all of you are monsters.
Oh, thank you, but we didn't cover his music and everything else he can do. So we want to make a show up. We can go for 8 hours on how great he is. We haven't covered a reasonable amount of time. People need to eat. We can't spend our whole lives just talking about how great Johnny is.
There is one thing that you can do. You can go to the web, you guys know what the web is, and look up, search for This Time I've Got It. And it is a wonderful music video starring Johnny that I shot that got nowhere. But it's fantastic and hilarious and awesome. Go check that out.
It did get somewhere. It became one of the top 10 Hollywood music, Halloween music videos.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a very short list then, I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir. Penn, question. Given, when I was younger, when I was 13 years old, 14, 15, I started getting into magic by watching videos of Penn and Teller on YouTube, largely. And when I was that young, I never imagined that these incredible men on stage had mentors in magic who they looked up to and who they learned things from. So when going into the magic world and trying to find a mentor, what should one look for? What should be an ideal characteristic to find in a mentor? We're looking for someone to teach you to improve in magic.
The question is, how do you find a mentor? Well, my way of doing that was to find the person who was the most talented performer, who knew more about magic in the world, who was one of the best men I ever met. That was my way of finding that. Beat that motherfucker. All I know is, you gotta find who touches your heart. And Johnny, one of the things that we all know about Johnny that isn't touched on in the film is that Johnny's integrity is probably as inspiring as his skill and his ability. I mean, Johnny, besides being a genius and a wonderful performer, most importantly is he's true like ice, like fire. That's the most important thing you can say about Johnny, I think. Anybody else? Yeah.
Johnny, what did you think of his performance? Like, honestly.
Honestly, I knew this was going to be a very, very tough thing for him to learn. Because, first of all, he did something that it may have gone by you, but he did a multiple palm in that, where he was bottom palming or top palming at the same time, and had to do so many sights that he was never familiar with. Fall shuffling and all, I thought his performance and his skill was wonderful. Harry Reiser was my first mentor. Charlie Miller. In my youth, it was Paul DePaul, Louis Zingoni. Also Paul Rossini, and Charlie Miller, of course, and Dave Vernon, and these guys were my heroes and got to be my mentors, and I will tell you that Charlie Miller was the most fantastic magician I ever knew. He was so skilled at everything. He was probably the world's greatest gambling expert, and although he wasn't a cheater, he got $500 an hour to teach some of the best hustlers ever in the world. And so I would say those were my heroes and my mentors.
And if you could please take any of the trash abroad, we're going to bring people in right away. We're doing this very quickly. Feel free to please buy a program from Emily on the way out for $5. Thank you so much. Once again, Johnny Thompson.
Party right now, and we just had
the screening of the Gambler's Ballad a little bit earlier, and I'm sitting with the star of that, Mr. Johnny Thompson. Hey, Johnny.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fantastic. Good to see you here again. And so,
well, thank you, Scott.
I enjoyed the movie quite a bit, and as some lady had said, you know, that they could have gone on and done a complete documentary about you, you know, the Harmonic Cats and so many things that were involved in your life over there. But it was... Now, you did you ever do that, like, in a trade show, or where did you actually perform that? I mean, it was like...
I used to do it in my formal close-up shows. If I was working a trade show and I did the hospitality suites at night,
yeah,
that was my closing, or if I did was booked for a formal close-up show where I do an hour and a half of close-up, I always close with that.
And do you still do that, you know, much often, very often, when you're performing?
Yeah, I still use it, yes, yeah.
It was amazing. I remember, was it last year you started to do that, I think, and... With Penn, did they complete that last year? It seems like we're just starting it.
We started it last year. We shot it in four different locations. We shot it in a little black box theater here in Vegas.
Vegas, okay.
Then we shot it at the Peacock Theater of Randy Pitchford.
That's right, here in Dallas.
And we shot it at Magic Live here last year.
Yeah. Oh, in Brooklyn.
And then we shot it at Brooklyn.
Right, right. And was the idea just to put them all together in some sort of a montage, or?
Well, actually, I see we only used one. I think it was Brooklidge.
Is Brooklidge that you used up using?
Yeah.
Uh huh. Really, that was very good. Well, listen, that I know, you know, we're here now that Eugene Berger has just recently passed, and it's been very sad, you know, in that regard.
I was the first one they called.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it broke my heart. Eugene and I have been friends for 40 years. And
yeah, you knew him in Chicago way back when, I imagine.
Eugene was the one who talked me into doing a book.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
He said, Johnny, you got a book in you. You need to do it,
he says,
huh?
You got to do a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what was your first book?
Well, no, it's the one that's coming out right now.
Oh, the one that's... Okay, because yes. I was going to say, I thought you had, I know, lecture notes and everything. That was
I had polished Polish prestidigitation.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. That was a lecture thing that then Busby put it out as a booklet. You know.
Now, who's going to put out the book? Who's publishing that?
I'm self-publishing, but I'm doing it through Magic Canna, which is David Benn and Julie Eng and...
Right.
Alan Slate's been very helpful on it, and so they're doing the production on it.
It's going to include all your
everything, birds, close up, mentalism, trade show
one,
work.
It was not the Bendix Bomb Show. What was the one that you did the trade show with the wallet?
They're doing my whole trade show act in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And when might this be coming out?
We're looking at December.
Oh, this year?
Yes.
It's that soon, so you're actually done.
We're starting to take orders. The first day we put it up, hour, we got 120 already.
And about how much is it going to be running?
Well, they have it's around $300, maybe $295 something. But for this convention, it's $250, and the postage is prepaid for them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. And so can those who are listening who aren't here, that they can buy it online someplace, I guess, then?
Yeah, I believe that it's online. That's how they... And they're also going to... I think they're taking orders here at the convention
right.
as well.
But it's through David Benn and his company, I guess.
Yeah, Magic Canna.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks very much, Johnny. Good
all
talking
right,
to you, as
Scott,
always, buddy.
Always good to see you, pal.
We'll see you later. Take care.
Okey-doke.
To the Magic Word Podcast, that was Johnny Thompson. Scotty out. Right, we're in the dealer's room over here then now, and I ran across Larry Haas. Hey there, Larry, how are you?
Really, I'm doing as well as I can be, Scott. Nice to see you.
I know, the circumstances being such as they are, with the wound being so fresh, with Eugene having just left us. Now, how long was he ill? I mean, I know he didn't tell people about it. And what kind of cancer? Was it liver cancer?
Well, I've been asked not to discuss the specifics.
That's fine, then,
but what I can tell you is that this was a very recent diagnosis, not even 2 months.
Okay. And it went that fast.
It did. He was in excellent health up to the diagnosis, and he was still doing well. So they, it took a little while for some of the testing to be done and executed. And I mean, the truth is, this all passed so very quickly, and he was happy. He was mostly pain-free, and at the very end, he was never in pain.
Did he, was he losing weight then at the time as well?
No,
the,
no. That, no,
and so he wouldn't even known it.
No, no one would have known it.
Wow.
No, I mean, you know, he was. Yeah, he was Eugene, the big smile, and he just was. It, we didn't know, and I think that might be why it had gotten so far along before.
You think that he might have known about something that he just didn't go to the doctor?
No,
kind
I'm
of a guy?
I'm certain he wouldn't have. He would have gone to the doctor
okay.
if he had known.
That's what
I think he actually felt pretty well.
Yeah, because some people, you know, if you have something wrong, say, nah, I'm not going to the doctor, I'm
yeah.
okay, and then later find out I should have gone. You
that
know?
Doesn't strike
that
me.
This,
you know,
Eugene,
one of Eugene's very best friends is Dr. Ricardo Rosenkrantz in Chicago, and Ricardo would have had him. I mean, Ricardo's a doctor. And Ricardo would have had him at a specialist. So I really honestly think, Scott, that he was in really good health. And it just, this
Came
was
on,
a silent
okay.
thing
yeah,
that developed. And so.
Yeah, you know, I had posted on Facebook about one of my memories. Of course, I've known him, seems like, for so long. But that time when you and I and your wife were talking with him.
Yeah.
And your wife was so funny. She said, what, Eugene, you never heard of the Grinch who stole Christmas? And he was the voice of the Grinch. And it was so funny because he was reading it like for the first time.
It was. Well, I when I saw your post, I just really warmed up inside because I remembered that. And Eugene did not know the story, but he read it
yeah.
magnificently.
First time. Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, first time, right?
Yeah,
he did it in one
right.
take, didn't
yep,
he?
In one take.
And
yep.
that tells us something about the power of Eugene's voice, right?
Yes.
He would unleash that in all of his performances. Here's another thing I think you will like and your listeners will really like. Eugene was amazing because he always hit his mark. Hmm. I've worked with him for so long, and you, even when he wasn't well, you know, for whatever reason, you bring him on and there was he was with the voice and the presence,
yes.
and that's part of why we love him so much.
What are one of your favorite memories over the years?
Oh.
I mean, you have so many, I know.
Well, I do. I have so many memories, but
I mean, if you're going to go to the eulogy and you're going to speak, you know, at the funeral or something,
yeah.
I mean, there are so many things to talk about. I mean, what would come to mind? What is something that you would...
I think the thing I would say is a more general thing, which is, is that meeting Eugene nearly 25 years ago changed my life immeasurably. My life is different because of his friendship and presence in my life. And what is true for me in a really profound and deep way, I know is true for magicians all over the world in their own way. Eugene had a special way of connecting with people and feeling, making relationships with them. And I know that that was true for me. He changed my life.
All for the positive.
All for
yeah.
the positive. What
yeah.
a man.
Yeah. What do you feel was the major thing? Was it something about how that you think about life, about magic, about your performance? You're probably going to say everything, I'm sure.
No, but I'll do better than that. I'll
okay.
try and do better. Part of what, for me, happened is I didn't explore magic as a child.
Yeah.
I came to magic as an adult,
yeah.
as a PhD in philosophy. And Eugene showed me that magic could be treated as a great and serious art and performed as though it had significance. And once I saw Eugene making significant magic, I realized this was a possibility for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was the Pied Piper, not only to me, but to thousands of others. So I've changed my career. I'm a full-time magician.
Yeah.
And it started 25 years ago when I met Eugene Berger.
Well, he was a teacher also. And
yes,
he taught philosophy, religion, and everything. And
yes,
I'm sure he'd gone through all kinds of thought processes as to what his belief system was and everything, you know, in life.
Part of why Eugene and I became such quick and fast and constant friends is because we both had that philosophy background.
That's what I figured.
And so I was, you know, a mentee of him as a magician,
yeah.
but we were absolutely co-equals in philosophy,
yeah.
and we talked about deeper issues all the time, and
wow.
so...
What conversations you guys must have had.
We did. And my wife's a philosopher, too, so she would join in the fun.
How
so,
nice.
Yeah. So, but he, you know, my one of my, just my memories of Eugene, really, is him teaching all of our students at the Magic and Mystery School. Mm-hmm. 25 years of students, thousands and thousands of students. He's touched their magic and tried to improve it, and it has improved it. And he, you know, unbelievable performer, unbelievable scholar and writer of magic.
Yeah.
Equally unbelievable teacher of magic.
He was one of the first ones I recall who actually was talking about philosophy and theory.
Absolutely.
As opposed to the magic lectures being trick, explanation.
Right.
He was the first one that talked about theory and people going, wow,
yeah
that
what
makes sense.
Courage it took, right?
Oh, sure.
To do that when no one else was doing,
it.
And he showed us all, the rest of us, a way.
You know, another thing that he did, and a lot of people didn't know, that he was had a workshop on the trick that can't be explained.
Yeah.
And I never took that, but I would love to have heard his thinking on how to do that. I guess you'd spend some time with him on that.
Yeah, many, many, many times. And what I will say obliquely is stay tuned. There are things, you know, there are lots of things unfolding. And the one thing I will say is that right before his diagnosis, I sent off to the printer a book by Eugene called Teaching Magic, a book for students and teachers of the art. And it will be released this October. And it's full of wonderful Eugene. So.
And where will that be sold? Through Magic Inc.?
Everywhere.
Or? Okay.
It's published by me, Theory and Art of Magic Press. I'm co-author on the book. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it'll be available everywhere. You know, we're no shortage of copies.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to have a copy.
You know
copy.
About how much it's going to run? 30, 40, 50, 100?
If you will, like that. If you will allow me not to talk about the money, because I'm trying to set commerce and sales on this aside.
I understand.
Until
that.
For another day. Mm-hmm. You know, for me right now, my heart is so filled with him. It'll be all known, and it was not priced in a way that this would be forbidding. That was never the goal.
Right.
We wanted people to have this book.
Right. Were there things, or will there be things in this that will be excerpts of some other of his books, or will be all completely new stuff?
All new stuff.
Wow. So are there any other projects or things that he was working on that are unfinished that maybe somebody will pick up?
I think the answer is yes, but I'm not really quite ready to talk about it yet.
Fair enough.
I just want to tell people to stay tuned, and things will unfold in the years to come.
Is there anybody that... Of course, nobody can replace Eugene in any way.
No.
But will you have someone else added to the Mystery School?
We, Jeff is currently still in China. And we've been online, but we haven't sat down together. We expect to be doing that over the course of the next month. And we're, just like with issues of commerce, we're not ready yet. We got to, all of us, just be in this place and be together and figure it out. We'll figure it out. What I can say is the Magic and Mystery School will move forward.
Yeah.
We will change and transform in exciting new ways. Of course, our teacher will always be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we will carry his spirit to every class that we do. So I feel like when we're ready to put this together, it will be really exciting.
And finally, when or where will be a memorial service, or will there be?
Good question. This is being worked on right now by Eugene's executors in Chicago. What I believe I know is it's not going to be called a memorial service, but a celebration of his life.
Yeah.
And I believe I'm quite sure it will be in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And I also know that they're not in prepared to set a date yet. But it will be down the line so people can plan to travel.
That's kind of like what we have done with the passing of John Mooring. You know, we planned that. It's for August 26th that we'll be having it in Houston.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people will be coming for that. And that the way his sister had planned that was saying, look, there are a lot of people we want to come and want them to make plans far enough in advance. So they planned this like over a month ago, you know, saying, okay, let's look at August 26th.
Yeah.
And I'm mentioning that now for people who might be interested.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, if they wanted more information, I can just scott@themagicwordpodcast.com and I can send you some information on that. But
what a fine man John was.
John,
what a loss.
Yes, yeah. And his also was so tragic, is like a slow motion train wreck.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
As opposed to Eugene going so quickly.
Just very quick.
You know, that's right. Thank you, Larry. I know it's hard,
Scott,
for all of us, and that the world mourns its loss, you know, the magic world in particular. And thank you very much, Larry.
Thank you, Scott. I'm glad to see you.
Yep. Thank you very much. So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Larry Haas. This is Scotty out. All right, let's get started over here. All right, so we are in the dealer's room then right now, and this is the a little bit larger than what we have normally had in the past. I think that's because they got...
Actually, it is
the same number of dealers we
got? It's the same number of dealers. Well, we should start this right.
Okay, let's...
Introduce me.
Okay,
I'm
let's do that.
I'm going to correct this.
Thank you.
And then comment on the dealer's
Hello!
Room, and I'll give you a comment.
Okay.
Take 14.
Okay. So we're in the dealer's room right now. We just finished with the root beer floats and kind of a fun thing where we were matching together license plates and everything. And I'm here then with the organizer, Mr. Stan Allen. Hello, Stan.
Hello, hello, hello.
So the dealer's room we're in right now. How many dealers are here this year?
I think it's 50.
And that relates how to previous years? About
it's
the same?
It's just about the same. What we did this year, though, in previous years, it got really crowded.
Yeah.
So this year we designed it differently and we created islands so people could cut through and...
Oh, yeah, because in the past it was a figure eight kind of an infinity.
It was a figure eight, and you got in a river, you couldn't get out.
Yeah.
So it feels more spacious. Everybody seems to be spreading out. I like it.
Yeah, before I think what we had, it was like four deep, it seemed like. And you're right, I hadn't thought about that river that you couldn't get out once you got...
Couldn't get out.
It was kind of like, you know, where you get the inner tube, you kind of go around, you keep coming back. You see some of the same people all the time then, too. Yeah, this is does have more of an open feel, like a nice grocery store kind of a thing. But you have some of the same things in which people are going to be winning prizes and everything because whenever they...
We always do the raffle. So tonight, though, what we're doing a little bit different is that we're holding all the raffles until the end, giving away seven grand prizes, all of them over $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
And what makes it different is you don't put your tickets in one drum. You pick which drum you want to put your tickets in, and we're going to draw a prize from each drum.
Okay.
So you get to decide. And, if you want the more mentalism prize,
right.
And put all your tickets in there. So it's kind of a fun way to do it.
That's not a bad idea, actually, because that way you kind of choose, because you know what's in that prize bucket. I mean, it's not like
And maybe this one bucket doesn't have very many tickets in it. So maybe you'll say, hey, I'm going to play all my tickets here. So there might be some strategy. Who knows?
I see where you're going with that. Well, you know, one of the things, of course, that we talked about, I think, in February when I was out here, that the time that... you couldn't say too much, and I know you still can't since we're just getting started right now, but that is because the magazine was no longer, that you weren't going to be able to have this with the same kind of a feel with the magazine.
Right.
So what have you done that you've structured differently that you can talk about here?
Well, we've just sort of pulled away from the magazine. You remember Magic Live was always bringing the magazine to life. That was our plan. That was our roadmap, if
magazine
you will.
Magic Live.
And so this year is the first year we've done it without a magazine. And so we've taken a whole different direction, and that direction is the road less traveled. And we're encouraging our guests to go to the lecture maybe they wouldn't go to, stop by the booth maybe they wouldn't, maybe invite somebody to lunch that they wouldn't into their circle and change the whole dynamic of the conversation to get off that superhighway and try some other things. So we'll throw a couple things, but... It's not like we're making the whole convention a weird road or anything. No, we're encouraging you guys and the guests and all of us to just take that detour occasionally. Why not?
And one of the small things, for example, like with the Ask Me button.
Ask Me. That's new.
Yeah. We're trying to get people that way that...
Well, there was a guy by the name of... There is a guy by the name of Curtis Hickman. And Curtis would like work for months on a new routine to come to Magic Live and show it to... Everybody he could show it to. He'd show it to the waitress. He'd show it to the bellman. He'd show it to every magician he could.
Yeah.
So we love that idea, and we encourage you guys to develop one routine, and we give you an Ask Me button if you signed up for it.
Yeah.
And about a little over 100 signed up.
Mm-hmm.
So there's 100 people. We thought that was good.
Okay.
But 100, if you will, guest entertainers.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to perform, you take your button off. And if you do want to perform, you have your Ask Me button on. So we'll see how it works.
I'll tell you, so far, you know, that I had breakfast with Paul Kirtner, and he was wearing an Ask Me button, too. And he said, a little bit later, he said that when people asked me, he said, I'm going to do the trick. No one's asked him all day. So we were sitting over there, sitting, we were signing, you know, the cards. And I said, So I want you to do the trick. He said, really, you want me to do it? He was so excited. He said, no one's asked me.
Well, all then we have to make an announcement, don't we?
We do, I think.
Yeah.
And I think by people listening to this, by the way, be sure to ask Paul Gertner to see his trick. Because he's
right.
Got a card trick that will knock your socks off.
Well, we were so excited. Paul Gertner jumped into this.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. Know? He was very excited about it. And now if he starts doing this 20 times a day, he might get less excited. But right now,
maybe
I mean, he was like
he
a little
will.
Kid. He was just having fun with
this. The 150th time is probably not as much fun as that first time, is it?
No. But he, you know, I was getting a crowd around and said, hey, Paul's going to do a trick. And so I think we had like 13 people or so, you know. And they,
that's excellent.
Some guy taking pictures and everything. So it turned out great. So, you know, I know in the past they've had the theme, you know, like friends and different kinds of things. So this is the road less traveled. Try something different. I like
right.
the idea of asking someone to have lunch with you or asking someone to show you a trick or whatever.
Even people that you know, ask them questions to talk about something you don't know about them.
Right.
So that's the idea.
Good idea.
And
good
in,
idea.
In doing that, we have taken a road different from all the other Magic Lives.
I see your point. See where you're going with that. Okay.
And next year we'll take a different direction, which we've already announced.
You have. I mean, you've already announced the convention. Yes. I mean, the
we've announced the convention. We've also announced that it's the 10th edition of Magic Live.
Okay.
So we're going to be reimagining some things that we've done in the past.
What is 10? Is that wood? I think, you know, first year's paper.
I'm not sure. This one is 9 lives, though, so I don't know. Maybe I'm done.
You've been lucky every year.
I'd say that and watch. People will say, no, you said you were done.
Several people had, before the convention, had asked me and said, you know, in the past, the stands held on the magazine. He's had a lot of people who called in favors or they've been on the cover or, you know, whatever. They didn't have a magazine, so what will it be like, you know? And as you said, people like to come and see you dance on the edge of that sword.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, there's 1,600 people here, registrants, plus the dealers. So we're over 1,700.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I recognize that doing it every year, people aren't going to be able to come every single time.
Yeah.
But we're still at a sellout, and so we're pretty excited
good.
About the whole thing.
Well, I will talk with you at the end to see
if I'm alive.
Well, there's a 9.
Okay.
You say 9 lives. It may
that's
be
9 lives.
That's
yeah,
right.
It
we'll
could
see
be
how it goes over there. Thanks very much.
Okay, wait. You're not going to do that.
I'm going to do that.
Damn.
So I think we're going to wrap up today's episode, our podcast, with the man right there, Stan. Thanks, Chief.
You bet.
Okay, this is Scotty out.